Not quite, Dave, Katie, and Nate, but you do have Katie Christensen here. Good morning to you.
I'm here. Somebody on that show still works.
Yeah.
And you got Jason Ross.
Hi.
I'm Damian Barling. Thanks for being with us here on this Tuesday edition of The Drive.
Has the holidays just completely thrown you off?
Yes.
I mean, it's just weird.
I'm burning the candle at both ends here. I just need some, some time off.
Well, the weekend was completely weird. You get Christmas on a Sunday, football on Saturday.
Football was on every day.
Yeah, yes. It is Tuesday. We're confirmed with that?
Yeah.
Well, there was a Monday night game last night. I can confirm that.
Tuesday.
It was a Kings game. But
then sometimes they'll say it's Thursday night or Sunday night football and it's Saturday.
On Christmas night, right.
Yeah. Okay, come
on. What is happening right now? There was a lot of sports this weekend.
There was a lot.
The dichotomy of the two fan bases that are listening to this show right now, it's just incredible when you think about your Sacramento Kings getting their fourth straight win last night. And obviously we're going to talk about the win last night against the Philadelphia 76ers and what is really clicking for them over the last four games quite a bit today. And then you have the playoff-bound Oakland Raiders who blow out the Indianapolis Colts but lose a legitimate NFL MVP candidate and the guy who is taking you to the promised land with Derek Carr's injury.
I don't know what you're talking about. Matt McGloin is legit. They're going to be fine.
Is this thing on?
All right, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. And you know what? You
so
might be
sad.
Right. You might be right.
Maybe.
It's so difficult to – look, we saw
– it's just going to be a lot harder, let's be honest.
Holy extremes here, right, at 6 in the morning. But we saw Tony Romo go out and a rookie come in and do well, right? So you have Crabtree still there. Amari Cooper is still there. You have three dynamic running backs who are capable of just exploding at any second. You have arguably 1B in terms of offensive lines in the National Football League. And you got the guy's not terrible. He's had a decent run in the past.
Yeah.
He's just not Derek Carr. So once the Oakland Raiders, and I'm sure Jack Del Rio has spent the last couple of days already doing this, once they wrap their brains around, okay, DC's not back there, let's move forward with Matt and see what we could do. They're not dead in the water by any stretch of the imagination. The concern is, okay, now you've got to go to Foxborough, probably.
That's it.
And
it's going to be McGloin versus Brady.
Yeah, which is a key matchup. Again, I'm trying to be serious about this. No, and I know we're going to get into this a little bit later, but the reality is if this had happened, say, I don't know, 8 weeks ago, I would feel differently than I do today.
Sure.
And mainly it's because I feel like the offense all the way around has gotten better. Like even, the yesterday's game, it definitely wasn't yesterday's game. This is not Monday morning, but their game on
it's actually like 4 days ago.
Yeah. I know, that's weird.
Their last game, whichever
Derek
day
Carr
that
might,
was.
Derek Carr might be recovered by the time this airs.
They had so many different offensive weapons that they use, and their defense each and every week, I feel, has gotten stronger and been something that they can rely on more and more. And obviously, this is all going to bode well for them, being that Derek Carr is out. But is that enough to be able to get them through the playoffs? I mean, we're talking playoffs.
Yeah, I also just think he's so important to what they do. You could just feel when he got hurt, the sideline changed, the stadium changed, the announcer, everything changed.
The look on Del Rio's face when he was walking
that walk off when he went and did the obligatory coach's handshake. I thought he was gonna cry.
Yeah,
he looked extremely.
He cried in the car.
He probably.
Yeah, and it's just I think when you said it earlier, Damian, about at some point if it goes as a long run for the Raiders, they're gonna probably have to go and play a team like Brady or Roethlisberger or these other high level quarterbacks that can make that big play. McGloin might be fine, but I don't know that he's gonna make the play that you go, we need this in the playoffs on the road or at home. I just don't know that he's that guy.
Well, let's look at it like this. One, the Raiders haven't clinched a bye yet, which is astonishing given their record.
Yes.
They haven't clinched that second bye yet. New England's locked into one. Right now you have Pittsburgh, who, if you've listened to Jason and Ken and I, we've talked in depth about how fearful I would be of Pittsburgh or Baltimore. It's Pittsburgh moving forward. But look at if you're the Raiders with Matt McGloin and you got the Texans, are you scared? Are you worried? I mean, obviously you're a lot more comfortable if Derek Carr is back there. But if you're facing the macho man, Tommy Savage, are you worried?
Not as worried, but
I mean, Miami Dolphins?
But they did not play great against the Texans. Now, granted, true, that was a very different situation. You're doing it in Mexico City. It was just, you know how it is, Jason, when you travel and you're mm-hmm. playing in, you know, foreign countries during a regular season, how just bizarre it is. We saw the Kings last year just absolutely get destroyed by Boston, maybe the worst game of the season. But I don't know. I mean, I haven't had a lot of faith. I'm actually surprised that the Texans were able to clinch. But yeah.
Everybody's surprised the Texans were able to clinch.
So, but the thing is, though, is that they've been able to do it despite the fact that they have a quarterback that they picked up at the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
So it's you got to be fearful of their defense.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And when you're without your quarterback, there you go.
I think it was the quickie mart, just to be thorough. But
the other part that I think, you know, the Raiders might have been a year away. They still may not have. Obviously, they had a great season. The problem to me for them is they'll still be good. Carr will come back and all that, but I wish he would have had the playoff experience. Mm-hmm. I think that's the worst. And no matter when it ends, even if they win with the Super Bowl, which would be awesome, but you just wish
next year, like, the wild card game, right, or the divisional round was going to be his first playoff game ever, no matter what the Raiders do this year.
And you could just say, like, well how's he going to – and I think he'll be just fine, but we don't know
he
that.
He could go T.O. on him.
And play?
Again, look, we're talking Kansas City. That's a tough one because of the defense. You're talking Houston, Miami. Once you get to Pittsburgh and New England, I'd be a little bit more concerned. Those are the playoff teams as they're set right now. Let's say things go the Raiders' way and they get that bye here and get to the second week of the playoffs mm-hmm. without having to play a game. You know, now you're, 2 weeks removed from the injury? Hey, how long did it take T.O. to come back from a broken leg? He played in the Super Bowl, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Six or 8 weeks?
Okay, but this
I'm just saying, hey, who knows?
I just need to interject here for one moment for angry Kings fan that is texting us in right now and saying, really? Home of the Kings? The nonstop NFL talk? We are also the home of the Raiders. And, yes, the Kings are on a four-game win streak. And, Damian, am I wrong here in saying that we're definitely going to get to that and we're going to cover it in the next 2 hours and 50 minutes?
So,
but Derek Carr, his injury may be a little bit more newsworthy at the moment than four-game win streak, even though I'm really happy about the win streak. am I wrong here?
Well, one, we've been on the air 10 minutes. Two, you guys do something that we don't. We don't acknowledge the stupidity that comes through with stuff. You guys are talking about the Raiders? Yeah, dude, we're your home of the Raiders, bro. Like, it's week 16 in the NFL season, and the MVP, potential MVP of the league, just went down. Kind of a story. I'm really happy that your Sacramento Kings won their fourth game. You know, what are we, 30-some-odd games? It's not even the All-Star break. We got it, bro. You sit there and listen. We'll take care of everything else. You don't worry about it. We got the morning brew coming up here in just a couple
pissy.
Of minutes.
It's all right. Mm-hmm. Everybody calm down.
He's going to cry
after
in the car.
After the holidays and all
where's the cheer?
Maybe he needs a vacation. Maybe he's burning the candle at both ends.
There's
here.
A lot of that going on.
Hey, there's a book that got some attention this weekend, too.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It's been gaining some attention gradually.
I loved the whole response to it because George Carl, I've never heard a nice thing about. Yeah. And then it was just a bunch of people killing him this week because he's
torched him
because of what. We'll talk more about that. We got four down territory coming up. We may or may not have guests. Who knows? We're all going to find out together, folks. We're just getting started here on The Drive. Katie Christensen, Jason Ross. I'm Damian Barling. More next. The Cowboys Radio Network right there, and a Dez Bryant touchdown pass to number 82, Jason Witten, as the Dallas Cowboys destroy the Detroit Lions 42-21 in a game that was essentially meaningless for both of them, but seems to have...
Those are the best kind of games.
Seems to have made a statement, though, if you're the Dallas Cowboys. They were able to come out there. Ezekiel Elliott was limited 12 carries. Darren McFadden got a lot of run. That had no impact on the fantasy football matchup that went on in this room in the fantasy football Super Bowl.
Yeah, which is why the facial expression exchange just went down between Jason and I.
I think it's not limited. It was the appropriate amount.
Oh, okay. Jason beat me by 2 points in our fantasy league for first place, and it came down to Ezekiel Elliott, and he has been a monster for me the entire season, and he is one of those players this year that has just blown a lot of people away on the field, not just in fantasy, but man, could I get a little bit more help than that in my final game?
Jason was 2 points ahead.
Oh, I was dead.
At the beginning of the third quarter.
I mean, I was dead. He had 2 touchdowns, killing it. Yeah. I'm like, well,
it's you're over. Alive and well, my friend.
Somehow.
It's kind of nice that there was a Kings game going on and I was unaware of what was going on in our fantasy matchup.
I was just like Ezekiel. I jumped in the Salvation Army Bowl and peeked my head out at the end. Yeah.
Are the Cowboys the team to beat in the NFC?
Absolutely. And they've proven that. And I think the two losses to the Giants is the only thing that has people shaking their head. But we all know that there's always that team for someone that for whatever reason, whether it's the coaching matchup or just how they scout each other, that it's just difficult. But what they've done all season is proof positive of the fact that people should be very worried about them.
Yeah, I didn't want to believe it a few weeks ago, but every week, I mean, who is it? We could say, oh, Seattle, they've done it before. Sure. Green
Atlanta?
Bay, Rodgers. But what? There's less flaws with Dallas. There really is. And let's make it messy. Let's get Romo in there.
The only thing, though,
okay, take it easy. Jerry said no.
It's just experience. That's the only thing that when it comes down to the playoffs, is as good as their two rookies have been, you also have to look at even with what Green Bay has done. What were they, 4-6?
Yeah, they're
before
hot
they
right
went
now.
On that run. So it's this time of year where, you may have put together a really solid, I'll give you that credit, Cowboy fan, a really solid regular season. But the playoffs, it's like you start over from scratch.
Packers-Lions, week 17, I'm guessing that'll probably be the Sunday night game. Winner gets the North. You could talk about Zeke being a big surprise. You could talk about Dak being a big surprise. One thing that no one saw coming is the Dallas Cowboys have the number one rushing defense in the entire NFL.
Oh, the dreaded rest conversation in the NBA, which is just my favorite. Mm. But I love it when teams like the Cavs do it, because then when teams like the Kings do it, it seems like there's a theory behind it. Like, it makes a little bit more sense. But the crazy thing to me is this matchup, the Pistons and Cavs last year, I thought it was going to be a much different playoff series, because this is a team that they struggled with last year in the regular season. And then you decide to rest LeBron in this game. And then what's his name? DeAndre Liggins, who that sounds like a character from a children's book. He starts and goes 0-for. He didn't get a single point in place of LeBron, who gives you 25. So, I'm shocked at this.
Yeah, I heard Tyronn Lue afterwards, like, are you worried about, because I think they're 4-17, something like that, the last three seasons without LeBron. Are you worried? If he's hurt in the playoffs, I'll be worried. I mean, why would – they're obviously much better with him, and he's going to be around. But I just feel like the rest thing is funny, too. Why didn't he rest the Warrior game? Well, that game mattered. Well, why didn't the Detroit game matter?
Yeah.
Second night of a back-to-back. Yeah. First of all, that's a whole other issue. Why the hell, if you're the NBA, are you scheduling a back-to-back after Christmas?
I know.
Like, whose call is that?
Right.
Like, what was the scheduling maker thinking at that point?
That's assuming that there's a schedule. It's a computer. It's a robot. It has to be.
But they adjust to yes, it is, but there is a person who adjusts games to try to fit everyone's needs.
The Kings are about to go on a 2-week road trip in January that has 3 back-to-backs, 8 games in like 13 days. So I could care less about the Cavs having a back-to-back after Christmas. I'm glad someone else is getting it stuck to them
that robot.
There you go.
Can we confirm that the rodeo's not coming to the Golden in one center?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can confirm.
Yeah,
all right,
confirmed.
Well, that's 4 in a row for your Sacramento Kings.
We're going streaking!
And they've done
How long have you been waiting to use that?
You know what? I haven't. It just came to me, and that is the magic of this all.
Okay. She just scribbled on a paper.
They don't win more than one in a row very often.
I know, right?
Now it's 4.
I was expecting you to say 3 years, 4 years.
They've done it in the same way for 4 straight games, which isn't the right idea to be trailing going into the fourth quarter. But they had never done it, and then they beat Portland. Now they've done it. Utah, Minnesota, and this one. But really, it's been the fourth quarter defense, which has been really, really good. And we're talking about the Kings and defense. But and just, you know, Katie, I think you, DeMarcus was talking post-game about winning close games. So there's just – they're figuring out ways to win these games. It would have been a bad loss. Instead, it turns into just another nice win.
You want to know why the defense is having an opportunity to win games for them in the fourth quarter? Because it's really their offensive decisions that are kind of setting the table from them to be able to do that. They're not. They're doing a much better job in terms of sharing the ball and trusting each other within the offense. And that's leading to good buckets and good shot selection. And it's crazy how when you make baskets and have good shot selection that you're able to set your defense on the other end of the court. It's amazing how that works in basketball. They've done so well. They really have. The trailing in the fourth quarter, going into the fourth quarter, though, that's getting a little tiresome. It's getting a little anxiety for me.
They are the Detroit Lions of the NBA.
It's working, though, for them right now.
At least the last four games it has. Yes. What is the biggest difference? Just in casual observations, obviously you guys are watching these games a lot closer than the rest of us are. Is it just the bench? Is that the biggest difference in a four-game win streak and a four-game losing streak? Is the bench, because you think back to the night DeMarcus scored 55 against Portland, and the 55 was beautiful, but the difference was that you were getting 17 from guys you would normally get six from.
Right.
And they've continued that pace since that Trailblazer game.
The bench has been one of their biggest strong suits all season long, which is quite a testament to them because they've been shuffled around like pieces on a game board. You know, it's never the same. It's always different combination. There's guys that have set out for 3-5 games, haven't touched the floor, come on, get their number called, and they come out and contribute. But the difference with the bench is that they play together very much as a unit. There's no top dog in the whole thing. So when those guys are starting to play with DeMarcus, I've noticed that he's even giving the ball up early in the offense because he knows he's likely going to get it back. You know, it's just more smooth and crisp and has a much better flow to it.
Yeah, Ty Lawson has been great. Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting. It hasn't happened yet where Lawson and Collison are good together. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Collison was better early and he's trailed off. Lawson's been great. I wish they would play well.
At the same time.
Yeah, not even together on the court, but at the same game. It just hasn't happened, but Lawson's been great.
We're going to talk a lot more about the Sacramento Kings in just a couple of minutes. It's 6:26, time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento's 2016 floor model clearance. JacuzziofSacramento.com. Damien and Jason in for Dave and Nate. Katie Christensen is here. More of The Drive next. 6:33, time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento's 2016 floor model clearance. JacuzziofSacramento.com. Damien and Jason in for Dave and Nate. Katie Christensen here. This is The Drive. We thank you so much for being with us here on this Tuesday morning. Hope to have a full guest list rundown coming for you in just a couple of minutes. 7:15, we'll have four down territories. Touch on some of the big stories that it feels like the NFL weekend was a long time ago, given that the bulk of the games were actually Saturday and not Sunday.
It feels like it went on forever.
Well, it did.
Three straight days.
Yeah.
It did. And that's not even counting the Thursday night game.
Did that make your holiday weekend better or worse, honestly?
Confusing.
Confusing.
Yeah. It did. There's a lot going on.
I didn't know what to watch on Sunday because you had the euphoria of the Cavs-Warriors game.
True.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
And then it was like, all right, there's football, and the football games were terrible. Both of them were awful. It was like, what is this? What is this Thursday?
The Pittsburgh one was good.
Pittsburgh?
Did you have the right days?
It did. Yeah. You're right. That was good. What was the crap one then?
The Kansas City-Denver was.
Yeah, that was a blowout. But wasn't there another one that was like, maybe it was Saturday night. It was like 6-6 forever.
Yeah, that was Houston. I didn't see any.
That's
of that.
What it was. That was Christmas Eve.
That was a JV game, yeah.
Yeah, that
JV.
Was. That stunk. That was garbage.
I guess they're going to the playoffs.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Yeah. Good luck,
Texans. Allegedly. Macho Man Tommy Savage heading the way for the Houston Texans. We'll talk about the Texans, sort of, more their injury situation and how it comes into play. And obviously injuries have been a big focal point. It's just a brutal weekend Marcus Mariota would be getting a whole lot more attention if Tennessee was still in contention for the playoffs. But just an awful loss. I mean, equally as big in terms of team as Derek Carr's injuries to the Raiders. It's just Tennessee's, they're done on Sunday, and they move on. The Raiders have to put the pieces together and try to make a playoff run here.
Yeah. Value of a backup quarterback. I mean, depth in anything in the NFL because injuries are a part of it, but it's just they're killer this late in the year.
Well, and the Cowboys, I think, are a perfect example of this because you look at the season they've had this year. What was it?
Is this Wood?
4 wins last year?
Yeah.
And then 12 the season before? Just having Romo went out and they completely just folded like a wet tissue paper. That is, you need a great backup quarterback. Now, be honest here, though.
13 wins.
Damien, okay.
Throw that out there for you.
I got you.
Okay.
Yeah. 13 wins. Did you have faith going into this season? I mean, I don't know that anyone really knew what Dak Prescott was about. He's a rookie quarterback. How are you supposed to know what he's about? But when Tony Romo went down, did you feel that this was going to be the season that you had looking after week 16?
I did.
Yeah, I did.
No, I did.
I did. He honestly did.
I did.
He did.
I had him at 12
crazy.
And 4.
I said, there's no way.
One, last year at the backup quarterback position was so bad, I thought they're going to do everything they can to not repeat that. I didn't think Ezekiel Elliott would be this good, but I thought there would be a legitimate combination of Ezekiel Elliott out. Similar to what the Raiders have. Zeke, Alfred Morris, and Darren McFadden, I thought would be similar to what the Raiders have with their trio of linebackers. Mm-hmm. When I saw Dak play in the preseason, I thought, that's good enough to win games. But between the offensive line, what I assumed would be an adjustment in the way that Scott Linehan called plays for the Cowboys, I thought, they could still be very good. Now, obviously, that was very much wishful thinking on my part because when Tony Romo was healthy, I said before he got hurt that they're going to be 12-4. They're going to be really good this year. I don't know what's going to happen to them in the playoffs. And when he got hurt, I wouldn't back down from it. I was like, I'm going to ride with it. Like, I believe in the team enough to ride with it. And a team that you should believe in, or can you believe in them yet? Sacramento Kings. 8 seed, right? I mean, think about it. The last time the Sacramento Kings were flirting with the 8 seed, they did it for about an hour and a half before they lost like 8 of 9. So they've won 4 straight. They beat the Philadelphia 76ers last night. We just got into this conversation, which was a very good game, and it was that was the game I was hoping we would see a couple of weeks ago before someone condensated all over the floor in Philadelphia. But that was the matchup you wanted to see, right? You wanted to see Embiid. You wanted to see DeMarcus. You wanted to see these two young teams go at it, and it was every bit as good as you hoped it would be a month ago when it was first supposed to happen.
It was a little bit more action-packed down the stretch than I would have hoped for. The matchup between Joel Embiid and DeMarcus was phenomenal to watch it. And I even talked to, the assistant coach Brian Gates, at halftime coming back in, and I asked him about the matchup and even the look on his face when I asked him that question. And he's like, wow, it's great. I mean, it's those two going up against each other. Joel Embiid is going to be something special because there's still that asterisk. He's still not operating at 100% healthy, and he's on a minutes restriction, 28 minutes. He's been the day we were supposed to play him in Philly, it got bumped from 24 to 28, and Brett Brown was so excited, and people are looking at him like he's, absolutely crazy and drank the Kool-Aid. But when he broke it down, it made it so much sense. With him on the floor, that team is ranked 2nd in the league in defensive rating. With him off the floor, 30th.
Oh.
That's the kind of difference that he makes. Add on top of it that he is a really gifted offensive player. It's still very raw, in my opinion. But for him, and they've been in so many close games, so it's like 4 more minutes of him on the court. And in that minutes restriction, a lot of people didn't know this, they also gave that kind of buffer for overtime games, that he could go over the 28 minutes if it were an overtime situation. So,
that was after he kicked a few chairs when he wasn't allowed to go in during an overtime.
Yeah. Oh, you remember that.
Yeah,
of course. That was good. And I would be frustrated if I were him, too.
Yeah.
In that situation. The poor kid hasn't hardly
but
played.
But someone just pull him aside and say, hey, big fella, it's game 17. There's 82 of these things.
But
relax,
how long
big guy,
he
we got
waited?
You.
That's and it's a young player and all of that.
No, I totally get that. And that's really, I think, one of the most eye-popping things is what you just said. Because you just said he can be great if.
Yeah.
That's he's not 100% yet. Mm-hmm. And he's really, really good.
Yeah, and what stood out to me, and Katie, you're down low. You can see it even. But he looked so big and just a lot of people try to get physical with DeMarcus. Yeah. People can't push him around. Yeah. Embiid was pushing him, bodying him, and really pushing him around.
I'm sure you guys saw that Brad Miller was there, mm-hmm. who I absolutely love, which is kind of funny in a sense, because I really, really enjoy him, and we have, you know, just funny talks. His wife is amazing. Really enjoy him as a former player. As a player, he was a pain in the ass to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, we had a much different relationship when he was still on the court. But I went up and talked to him at halftime, and I was like, did you come to this game specifically because of the matchup? He goes, it just worked out that way. He's like, I haven't really been around because he's been doing his hunting show. But I said, well, what do you think of Embiid? He goes, man. He goes,
that's a big country fat boy right there.
In edited terms, that's a big boy.
Yes.
He was super impressed, not only with his skill set, but shocked at how big he is, his physical presence. And he's so young. But that was a good
one. Was it a two-word bad word or just a one-word bad word?
Because I'm trying to. Son of an interesting.
But it was more like some of a instead of son of a.
Yeah.
You know what was funny, too? I thought.
I can totally picture Brad Miller saying that.
The conclusion of the game shows you how much the NBA has changed. In the last minute, DeMarcus Cousins, the center, takes a contested three over a guard, but he makes it. I mean, it was beautiful. We heard the call from the G-man. And then here's Embiid, their center, tried two threes for the win.
It's a very good point.
It's a
being guarded
game by another center.
Right, behind the three-point line.
Crazy. Yeah. But they weren't even bad to see. I mean, you're just going, well, I believe Embiid could make it, and I believe Cousins could make it.
To quote Grant Nabe, this is 2016 NBA basketball. Jerry, did you ever think you would see two centers shooting dual three-pointers?
You heard that one. No, that was.
Yeah, about four times between the Houston game and there was a was it Lakers? Yeah. Lakers and the Rockets. I think he uttered that phrase about four times.
I want to say, I'm trying to remember, all of the games are running together, but the 125th anniversary of basketball, I think we were in Utah, and I covered that on the sidelines, and that final score of that game was 1-0, and it was technically a 25-foot shot that was made. So it would have been a three also made by a big guy. But to think that it wasn't until like 1979, I think, that the three-point shot even entered the game. But you even go back and Doug Christie was talking about it the other day. It wasn't even the three-point shot wasn't even a big piece of their offensive puzzle when they were making their huge run. It's changed so much, and to see centers doing it. But the three-point shooting by centers, impressive. But during this four-game win streak, how many game-saving defensive plays has DeMarcus Cousins made?
True.
He got the block on Damian Lillard. He's got that one last night. I mean, it's just defensively, again, it comes down to this team is that's where they've been making their presence felt.
Kings have won four straight, beating Philadelphia last night. Damian and Jason in for Dave and Nate. Katie Christensen is here. This is The Drive. There's more Kings news, but it's a little more gossipy, and it involves their former coach. We'll touch on that next. Back here on The Drive, Carmichael Dave. Nate Goodyear off, Jason Ross, Damian Barling in with Katie Christensen. Katie, thanks for letting us be here.
Hey,
yeah,
I don't have a choice. No, you know what? I'm happy
that
you guys are joining me in the morning, because otherwise it would have just been Matt and me and
Matt and I,
Matt and me and God knows what else. I'm sorry, I don't have proper grammar before 7 p.m.
You have some proper grammar when the mic is off. Like, holy smokes!
Hey,
when's the sun come out?
That's a good question, yeah. Jason.
That window is just there. It's still dark.
It's a lot darker than it is during our show.
Is this a normal thing?
It's weird. Jason actually didn't know 6:48 came around twice a day.
No, like, this is first. This is new. This
first
is,
I knew it. Yeah.
3 a.m., right?
Yeah.
This happens twice, huh? Yeah. Weird.
Come out.
Weird. Thank you so much for being with us and all the people who get up at this time every single day. I like to quit bitching. I get up at – there are people who are just getting off. Those are the ones that I feel for, because that's a different lifestyle when you're getting off, you know, at 7.
The night shift.
Yeah. That's a whole different world right there. But we appreciate you so much for being with us. Hope everyone had a absolutely fantastic Christmas, had a fantastic holiday, and I guess we're getting ready for another one because New Year's is a holiday.
I know. It's right around the corner.
Yep. Most people aren't coming, as you could tell by Jason and I being here. Most people aren't even coming in this week. They just just take the whole Thursday, Friday, Saturday to do that whole thing off.
It's just bizarre. I mean, obviously, we didn't work on Friday, then Monday, and then turn around and there's a holiday. Yeah, it's just
it's such a throwaway time.
Yeah, it is.
It's such a throwaway time.
Not for us.
That's right.
Hey, we are here to bring you entertainment. All right, then. The Kings beat...
That's what we're doing.
Kings beat the Sixers last night, 102-100, their fourth straight win. Mentioned as we were headed to break there, they're kind of in the news throughout the weekend, not just because of their wins, but because of some gossip. George Karl wrote a book, Furious George, and in order to get some attention, they leaked some excerpts from it. So most of what got attention was the fact that to no one who knows him, surprised by this at all, he trashed Carmelo. Mm-hmm. Now he's insinuating that the NBA has a steroid problem. And if you believe...
What?
Yes.
If, hold on.
Chapter 4. What?
Okay, continue. Sorry. I'm looking up his medical background right now. Go for it.
Yeah, unless you're shooting needles or rubbing some suspect cream on yourself. Yeah. Like, how would George Karl do that? And if you believe certain reports, the sections regarding DeMarcus Cousins and the Sacramento Kings were removed because the Sacramento Kings are still paying him.
Yeah. So there's going to be something that comes out later.
The paperback version is going to be crazy.
Well, let's see that. That's what I want to see. What was left on the editing room floor?
It's
the director's cut coming out next year.
It's funny because last night, when I got home, Dave and I FaceTime, and he's been, of course, during his time off.
Stop.
Hold on. No, I'll explain it. It gets weird.
Please, because what time did you get home last night? It gets weirder than you and Dave FaceTime after you got home.
Oh,
it gets weirder than that.
I figured that was the weird part for you. No, we FaceTime all the time. Our listeners know that we FaceTime and we talk, and it's difficult. Yeah. Thanks, Matt. But you and I were talking before the show started. It's really hard for me to go home and go to sleep,
right,
regardless of the fact that I know I have to get up at 4 in the morning, because it takes a little bit of time to wind down after a game. But he's been messing around during the break of kind of streaming stuff and whatever for the show potentially. And so we did like a little practice thing, and we had some people on there asking questions, and they asked specifically about this George Karl book and everything. And it's the way I look at it is like, I don't really pay him any mind of what he says about the Kings, because we know that that was kind of the blemish on his coaching record, right? And if you just look at how he trashed guys that carried him and won him games and kind of helped build that resume, like Carmelo and Kenyon Martin, like I don't even need to know what he says about the Kings and DeMarcus. Just look at how he's trashing people that did so much for him. Imagine what he's going to say, or what he wants to say and will eventually say. I pay it no mind. I look at it this. My personal interactions with George Karl is the only way that I'm going to judge him, not based on his resume or whatever. And my personal interactions with him were not good. And neither were most of the media's interactions with him.
So neither were his assistant coaches. Yeah, neither were people he knew for decades.
He doesn't get my sympathy. I don't care what he writes, because I look at the source that it's coming from. Consider the source, and then you kind of weigh it on that. This is him writing a book, and I don't know. It's a way to puff his own chest up, and that's fine if you want to do that. I don't give a rat's ass.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like it's strictly gossip. Not that some of what he's saying doesn't have some truth to it, but if you've coached that long and as successful as he was, where's the fun?
Yeah.
Where's the good stories? I mean, you've coached that long. You've got some good stuff, some fun stuff, and it felt
One
like everything
hope.
Was, I don't take a shot at this guy. This is a reason why the NBA is bad. I'm like, well, did you have fun? Did you enjoy it at all?
Did you make a lot of money?
Right.
Did you make a lot of money coaching in this league?
Off of this league, yeah.
Book is titled Furious George, My 40 Years Surviving NBA Divas, Clueless GMs, and Poor Shot Selection.
Okay. Well, I mean, I could take some of those stories could be interesting, but the back. The
oh,
early
sorry.
Backlash.
I'm sorry. That was actually just the Sacramento years. My bad. Oh. Hold on.
Stop.
That was a joke.
Yeah. Stop.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
I've had, I think, one interaction with George Karl. My entire opinion on him is based on this woman I know, who husband worked very closely with George Karl for a number of years in Milwaukee. Sweetest woman on the whole entire planet. Have never heard her say this except for one person. She said, I hate George Karl.
Wow.
I hate who he is. I hate everything about him. I think he's a horrible, horrible man. And that was like, wow. Oh,
yeah, you consider, you know, I'm saying consider the source that it's coming from George Karl when you know someone and you're like, these are the things they have to say, you know. I'm not going to besmirch him. He has a phenomenal resume. He's a future Hall of Fame coach. I'll also take it a step further and say, yes, he did very well, but my opinion of his time with the Kings in that short amount of time between when he left Denver and when he came to Sacramento and lobbied for that job and got lucky because that front office was so paranoid because they made a horrible decision in firing Michael Malone the way that they did when they did. Then they thought they were going to ride out the next, 6 months of the season with an interim head coach and poor Ty Corbin, who is a phenomenal person, but was not suited for that situation that they put him in. They hired George Karl because social media lobbied it. He got a job because Twitter lobbied for him, not because of
Sacramento Twitter. That wasn't Twitter. That was Sacramento fans.
Exactly, Sacramento fans. But in that amount of time between when he left Denver and when he came to the Kings, I'm like, holy cow, the game has outgrown him that quickly. Or he just got really lucky with great players in Denver, because what I was seeing, I was completely flabbergasted by. But who am I? Not a
You're
Hall
Katie Christensen.
Coach. Not a
well,
Hall of Fame coach.
You know what? I just don't believe the line you let off with. I don't mean to besmirch him, and that's very nice of you, because he's besmirching everybody he's ever come in contact
with.
Yeah,
but I don't need to be an ass as well. I can talk about my personal opinions, and there was a lot of the failure that he had with the Kings rests squarely on his shoulders. That's how teams are. You don't lose and have one bad experience and then go on and write a book and say it's their fault. Everything that's bad that's happened in my career, oh, it's their fault. It's his fault. The NBA's got a steroid problem. Collect your paycheck and
it's their fault because they didn't have a dad.
You made a lot of you. Right?
How messed up was that, man?
I didn't either, jackass.
And look at
steroid. Look at I. What's wrong with me?
Mess,
I have
Damian.
No anger issues at all.
You're a mess.
Sakes.
Probably why you root for the Cowboys.
Yeah. All right, hey, now you need to calm down.
Don't
we'll come back.
Don't besmirch the Cowboys. Never
Thank you, Jason Ross.
Before. I just wanted to say besmirch.
Well done. Well done. We'll come back with more of The Drive next.